toes. For the adios amigos. Half toes loose. I don't brag, I'm mostly boast. From the VA to the LA coast. Here's it go.
One time here, Hodge.
Roth Radio Lodge, baby. Hit it up, B Young Live in the background. It's Grammy time. Yeah. About whom, make sure the dancer just don't hide. Take you higher, yeah. Take you higher, about to take you higher. I'm gonna take you higher, baby. Say yeah, we better say.
Has anybody seen Sly? Where's the singer?
Hold on, baby, I'm gonna sharpen my mohawk.
Roth Radio. David Lee Roth Large and in charge, Marge. So large we need a barge for all the talent that's arrived on our shore. Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. Grammys have arrived on our sandy shores of serenity here. What a cool show last night. All kinds of things to talk about today. What do you want to say up to? Hutch has an idea.
Well,
this is a promising effort.
I've got Kelly Clarkson crying a little Liza.
Where are you hiding her, you animal?
Here she is, you bitch.
Oh, God. I'm terrible at speaking when I cry, so sorry. Thank you so much.
All right. I want to thank God. I want to thank Mom. I want to thank Miles Davis. I want to thank Bruce Lee. I want to thank my producers. Five homies and a microphone. Yeah.
And then here's the single that probably won the most, right? Say,
to give me love, I'm a need. Whoa, she's a gold digger. Yeah, she ain't gonna mess with no white boy, homie, no.
Roth Radio. How many of these did Kelly Clarkson actually win last night? Did she win like two of them, I think? And what happens is the acceptance speeches get a lot longer. Have you noticed? I don't know if everybody's drinking champagne down there or what, but they're drinking Red Bull or something because the explanations start to really drift. The first time it's okay. I can cry. Everybody cries. You know, everybody thanks Mom, God, Apple Pie, the producers, the record company. Those who have, who are currently thanking their record company are at that point in their career where they have yet to renegotiate. Anyways, Kelly. She had a pretty good sound up there, but there was a lot of good talent singing on the stage. Usually, it's to the opposite, I think. Usually, you hear a great record, right? You got a great sound, etc. Then you go and you see it live, and it sucks. They can't duplicate what they created in the studio, especially if you're doubling the vocals. You know, if you're, if you triple yourself, you know, and this kind of thing, you got to resort to either using the Pro Tools, the tape, the computer. Or you have a little trouble doing it on stage. You know, we're all familiar with the lip sync cycle of things. You know, it started off with Milli Vanilli. Everybody was up in arms. Poor little Ashley Simpson. She, you know, dialed in the wrong program on the computer and her little hiccup in the career. But everybody's doing it, right? Everybody, virtually everybody. I don't care if you're the new kids downtown, you know, at Arlene's Basement, or if you're on the Leno Show, or if you're doing the Grammys or whatever. You know, you bring it along. There's a lot of people who play nothing but the computer. There's a lot of people who play nothing but the wheels of steel. It's the kid in the beanie with the goatee wearing two earrings instead of one. Singers wear one. Well, you wear two, but in one ear. And that's the, you know, that's the common thing. But last night, a lot of the music that I was, you know, having fun with and critiquing, and, you know, hey, going boo is as much fun as yay, okay? Flash critique, I call it. You know, we don't give anything a chance to breathe. Like a beer. But you pretend, you know, you go, okay, what's the instant Big Bang theory? Do I get a Big Bang out of this? Like, boom, instantly. Or is it something that's got to grow on me? A lot of albums, they got to grow on you. Unfortunately, they grow on you like athlete's foot instead of fine wine. And that last night, yesterday, hey, there's a Freudian slip. Last night, this is the first late night talk show, actually, of the whole day. Don't think of it as morning radio. After hours, I call it, baby. Roth Radio. We were going after all the different songs and stuff that had come from the Grammys. I was not terribly impressed, you know, but again, we only listened to each thing for 30 seconds or whatever. Each of those artists popped up on the Grammys last night, except for an exception or two, not much at all, and everybody was smoking. I thought that the live versions of what people were doing up there, wow. I stood up and cheered a couple of times. You see when Paul McCartney came out there with Jay-Z and did Yesterday like this, that woof. That was smoking moments, and everybody got standing ovations all the way across the board here. Go ahead and spin it up there, Hutch. You got it, man.
It's the first time I've ever played the Grammys. And I finally passed the audition. So I want to rock a bit.
Now, we don't want to hear the rock part. I want to hear the part where he goes with Jay-Z and stuff like that.
I don't believe I have that.
Yeah, you do. It's in number 17. Jay-Z, Linkin Park, and Paul McCartney perform. Here we go. Actually, you know what? Maybe save that until we go through the commercial so you can pile up, because he doesn't come on in until halfway through the song there, Hutch.
You got it.
We'll wait till the commercial to put that one up there. But oh, man. A lot of good moments up there. Animal, did you see the Grammys at all last night on the TV set?
Yeah, I saw about an hour and a half of it off and on.
What did you think of Madonna?
Oh, man, she had those legs jumping out, man. You know, I like the leg thing, man. It was really hot.
She still has no junk in the trunk. Impressive,
yeah,
huh?
She had them Tina Turner legs jumping off last night, man.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that. What did you think of her performance? Was she really singing? That seemed evident to me.
Yeah,
she,
that was great, I think. I was always a fan of her.
I thought the general show that was surrounding her, that was billed as going to be something really spectacular. I mean, something unique that we hadn't seen before. I thought that was a little bit familiar.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's kind of, maybe I'm reading things into the subplot here a little bit, but I kind of see that there's some distraction there. It's not possible to have the husband, the family, the six houses, the book writing career, the two kids, the nanny, and everything else that kind of goes along with it, and still be able to make it step as if that your whole life depended on it. The Buddhists say, you know, most people think when you hear the word Buddhist, you think of placid, quiet, and still. One of the most placid Buddhist expressions that comes from 1100 BC or somewhere like way far that back is live your life as if your haircut was on fire. And I don't think
I like that phrase.
I don't think you can really live like that unless you have a more defined focus here. And these are artists frequently that I see who have come from a long time ago, a la Springsteen. Going to talk about him in a second here as well. But we get to see them develop or deconstruct or whatever. I think Madonna was great. I see a lack of focus there. Now I'm reading about romantic possibilities that are she's having difficulties with the husband. Another distraction, man. You follow?
Yeah.
The friction of time, it's called. Time applies friction to every one of these artists, man. It's cool to watch the new ones, you know, because they're going to start as they grow. You have a choice. Do you speed up or slow down?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You're going to get married. Then you're going to get a divorce. Then you're going to get half of it. You're going to have an alcohol problem. Small but manageable drinking problem. Oh, yeah. Then you got the therapist. Now the therapist is in bed with you and your latest consort. Just ask Charlie Sheen. Now the ex-wife sues you. Just ask Denise Rich. Somebody gets an AIDS test, reads People magazine. This is right on the cover here and everything. It's a mild distraction. Mild, but significant. And any time that you're focusing on the kind of music you're doing or the lyrics that you're following in, that comes from your lifestyle, man. We talked to Russell Simmons just the other day, the great impresario. I call him an impresario now. Started off as a manager, a producer, whatever. Talking about hip-hop, rap, and so forth. He's one of the godfathers of that whole genre and everything. And, you know, when you talk about focus, well, a lot of those acts that were on the show last night, that's all they know is that neighborhood. That's all they can sing about. Okay, one-trick pony, but it's a hell of a horse. Hell of a ride, man. You dig? So, okay, I get that. They're focused. But those of us who are lucky enough to not have to look into our pocket for a McDonald's cheeseburger price, you know, those of us who are lucky enough to be able to afford to travel a little bit and stuff, and that means every one of those new young artists, everybody who won a Grammy, everybody who was even nominated for the Grammy last night, is now in that position. They're all popular enough, they're all famous enough, that here comes life. God, I love that song. Yeah. That Kanye West, I don't sound anything like Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, and I like how they came on stage, you know, with the band thing jumping off. Remind me of when I was in school, man, they come out as drum majors. Then the Stinettes came out, man, you know, then they wanted to step a little bit. I wasn't impressed with the guys, man, with their step. They could have did a little better, but the girls was real hot, man. I like that.
That was totally smoking, and it totally reminds me of John Muir High School marching band, now that you mention it.
Yep.
I was in the marching band from, you're not marching when you're in fourth grade.
I was in
grade.
Band, too, but I can't call her name.
We got it from fourth grade through 10th grade. I played saxophone, and the uniforms looked exactly like what the fellas were wearing there. You know what I think maybe the take on that was? Did you see Drumline?
Yeah, I did. That's one of my favorite movies, man. It reminded me of when I was in school. I used to watch it all the time
Stop.
When it first came out.
When you were in school, the Drumline did not look anything like that.
Oh, man.
Modern version of the way the drum corps looks today is so smoking compared to the, you know.
But in the swag, though, it was about the same, though, Dave.
You think?
You know, of course, because I lived it for 4 years, and it really touched me. They did a good job on Drumline, man.
Oh, I'm saying today what happened with Drumline is spectacular. When I was in high school, looked very different.
Yeah.
It looked like Marine Corps issue when our bands would move through. But I went to an all-black high school at the time.
But they didn't have stinettes, though, did they?
What's a stinette?
Oh, that's them booty shakers come out in the front and throw down after their drum majors sat down.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, well, we had stinettes.
I knew Cheryl Mitchell.
We had stinettes, but they didn't do anything like that.
Oh, bad girls type thing, huh?
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of white girls on the cheerleader thing. Nevertheless, I thought that was a great number as well.
Was.
And that song, did that song actually win anything? I'm wondering if Kanye West and whatever. We'll dial down through it, whatever.
He got the best album.
Did it get the best album?
He got best rap album, yeah.
Okay, the best rap album. Okay, well, I'm not sure that's too far off the mark. Anyhow, what I was talking about is a lot of these people are at that crossroads right now where we're going to get to watch them develop or deconstruct, okay? Madonna, all the makings of a great future there, but I tell she's distracted. There's a lot of other things in her life that demand her focus. Now, we know this for a fact, right, Ever? And you can't do those kinds of steps. You can't do that kind of singing. You can't do that kind of performance unless that's your life. Which ballerina is going to deliver the best performance? The one who lives and breathes it, eats nothing but apples and milk for breakfast, lives alone, is totally tormented, practices 8 hours a day, goes home, lives an existential existence, but lives and breathes that. Or the ballerina who's happily married, has a couple of kids, goes to yoga, has a Pilates instructor, knows a little kung fu, French lessons, couple of houses, not in California. Well, that's a wonderful life, man, but it all serves as kind of a distraction. You know who didn't have the distraction? Bruce Springsteen, baby.
Diamonds and dust, baby. Diamonds and dust, baby.
What Bruce Springsteen was doing, he showed up like the president. He showed up like the chairman of the board now or whatever. And it was great because you could see that a lot of that influence had extended to, I don't know, perhaps you two, perhaps, you know, a number of other people. But he was the one guy who showed up with one guitar. that kind of summarizes the whole proceedings. Huh? That's kind of where it all comes from. Well, you know, you may agree that it all comes from somebody, you know, going. But then the guitar comes in, right? You ain't got no single till the guitar goes in. Bruce Springsteen, alone, one guitar. Well, I made a lot of fun of him yesterday. I had a lot of fun with that, you know, because he becomes the character. And his character mumbles. He's not Bruce Springsteen when he sings that song. It's like cinematic. It's like the movies. He becomes that guy. And he sold it to beautifully last night. It was amazing. He became that guy. And the whole audience, the same one that was riotous for, you know, Kanye, yeah. Same one that's noisy for Sly, etc. Everybody, that was a great moment there. And there was energy. He didn't kill the mood. Didn't turn everybody melancholy and sad, you know. It's very easy to stand up on stage and kill the room and go, hey, man, kids are dying in Africa. Everybody quiet. He didn't do that. He became a whole nother kind of character, you know. And very moving kind of stuff here. What about Coldplay? Did that make any sense to you at all?
I'm not a big Coldplay fan. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, somebody, was it either, I think it's either Sugarland or Coldplay. I'm trying to remember when I was watching the TV set. One of them imitated U2, note for note. Remember the kid was running out into the audience?
Coldplay.
Is that
yeah.
who it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guitarist sounded just like, well, do you have that track, actually?
Let me find it for you.
Go ahead and dig that up, because what I'm picking up on here is complete derivative, okay? I understand influences. I understand, you know, okay, I got my heroes, and hopefully I look and sound a little bit like my heroes as opposed to my enemies and the ones I hated. I understand that here. Do you have it?
Yep.
Here we go.
Are you lost or in conflict?
You too.
Do you feel like a puzzle you can't find? You're missing peace. Well, tell me.
Okay. Step away from the console, please. You're going to poetry jail. That's Coldplay?
Yeah. That was you too, wasn't it?
No, that's Coldplay. Do you see? You see the difference?
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't have this in the record collection, but look at the mistake. That was
I have you too in my collection, though.
That was an honest mistake that Animal just made. Seriously, that's what I thought it was when I first heard it, man. I better go listen again. Yeah.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Do you remember one thing?
One thing.
I came, I saw, conquered. Record sales, sold out concerts. So everybody, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs get sore. Yours truly.
Today,
uh-huh.
All my troubles seem so far away.
Uh-huh.
Now it looks as though they're here.
Now watch, this is going to test this kid's vocal ability, and he wins the game. Watch for this. He's going to have to harmonize with Paul McCartney. Watch this. I gotta let this play.
Love was such an easy game to play.
That's the Linkin Park singer, yeah?
Now I need a place to hide away.
That's right.
Oh, I believe.
Jay-Z.
Yesterday.
That's right. Sounds so beautiful, don't you agree?
Now that's why we tune in, baby.
Yeah, swing it, baby. Give me the loop, homie. Hit it. Come on, man. Wake it up. Wake it up. Yeah, man.
Oh, that's a Grammy performance, man. That's a Grammy performance from B. Young in the background. David Lee Roth Lodge in charge. 866-313-3733. Talking Graham Meese. That was a winning performance, was it not?
What a notch in that kid's belt.
Well, that's not easy harmony to do.
And just to be able to say now, he could say I harmonized with Paul McCartney in front of everyone I ever met in my whole life.
Yeah, and that was heavy lifting. Being able to do that kind of harmony, that's not simple, okay, I'll just go on top. That's like, whoa. Bands spend entire lifetimes trying to perfect that. And being able to stand up in front of that audience, much less the viewing audience and like that, and bang it over the left field fence, 110%. Paul McCartney, come on, we already knew. He's a 4-star. But that fella, what is his name in Linkin Park? What's the singer's name? Dig it up in the background. We got to give him some serious props here. Irregardless, wow, great performance. I'm sorry, go ahead, Alberto, jump on it. What is his name?
Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington, a winning name.
Chester.
That's great stuff. Wow. And then we saw other performances, too, that perhaps didn't quite add up, baby.
Get it
out, Mom.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you see when Sly and the Family Stone came out there?
Yeah, I did, man. That was when David introduced them and stuff. I was like, which one is Sly? You know, I'm looking, then I made my decision. It was the one on the right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm grooving. Then all of a sudden, this dude come out with a mohawk and blew me away, man. I was very impressed. I was like, that's got to be him right there, man.
Okay, what are you most impressed with?
The way he was dressed, like, you know, like the Parliaments or the Funkadelics. I kind of like that groove that he came out with the big mohawk and stuff. Kind of remind me of the Funkadelics, George Clinton type thing.
Okay, I think you're on the money there as far as you know, standing out in a sea of sore thumbs, he did manage to stand out, right? Okay, what I'm thinking of is, do you actually have the performance there? Go ahead and play the performance one time. This is the Sly and the Family Stone. And this is him singing, right? No, this is the band doing the medley or whatever. Do you actually have the part when he comes in?
Apparently it comes right at the end here. Hold on.
Here we go. Come on, Sly. No, stop it. Hutch, wake up, man. Wake up before you get to work.
I got three cuts here.
I want to hear the thing that is with Sly and the Family Stone when he actually comes on sing. Put my loop back on and dig around for a year. Because what happened is I'm going to agree with you that you have an element there, a visual that was in place. But I think that Sly did what a lot of these old guys did. Okay, let's just walk through it together here. He had an amazing band set up for there. And this was inclusive of everybody from the Aerosmith guys to the Maroon guys. I think that was Patrice Rushen working on the keyboards or whatever. Yeah. A really great setup. And that band was idling on a scale of 1 to 10 at about a 4.5, okay, when they finally, you know, started doing their medley or anything like that. This guy, they didn't even know if he was actually going to show up all the way through the rehearsals or something, okay? He finally shows up, and the band kicks in. Immeasurably, the band kicks in. And what happens, Hutch, the band kicks in, and hold on 1 second. Turn up the loop here.
Go ahead, Miz.
Just get things squared up here. Anyways, what happened is that band was functionally working there, and I'm distracted. Turn it up here, baby. Swing it, baby. Anyways, what happened is you had that band there, and these guys were performing at about half speed. They're going on a 5 to a 10 scale. Sly walks out there. Nobody's even sure what he's going to do. They're in the middle and want to take you higher, and he can't find his place in the song. He's missing the parts where he's supposed to be singing along. He's missing the parts where he's supposed to be playing along with the band, and you can see the band giving that look. You know, the look like you're giving each other like you're not supposed to be looking. And he misses the vocals. He's missing the verse parts, okay? and he's wandering around up there in the keyboard, and he's got his face down. He's not making any eye contact of this kind of nature, and the band starts falling apart. They're trying to cover for him. You can see the vocalists are trying to, they don't really know the words because that's his part of the song. And you got Tyler up there, you know, who's good at any kind of stagecraft, and he's reduced to, or whatever, trying to cover for him. Sly then steps off the podium and goes walking to the front of the audience. Nobody's really sure what he's doing and everything, and you can see the greatest backup band in history, or at least in the last 10 years there, and they start to implode. They start to fall apart. And Sly goes ahead and walks away, and the audience dutifully applauds, okay? And I'm wondering, did we just applaud because this homie showed up? Because he had the presence of mind to finally find his way to the door?
Well, I wasn't really listening at what he was saying. I was just watching him, just to see what he looked like nowadays, man. Because nobody's seen him in, 20 years and stuff.
Okay, but to me, that's a cautionary tale. This is a picture, a piece of film that you show kids that you can show what happens when you really screw it up, man. Don't be fooled by that amazing backup band. You had every single famous face and character and voice and instrumentalist from the entire Grammys program working behind him there. And it all formed into a beautiful engine when he walked out on stage. And he didn't hold it up, man. He didn't keep up his end of the bargain. He wanted to play lumberjack and couldn't keep up his end of the log. 866-313-3733. Talk to me, Brian from Connecticut. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Hit it, Brian. Go ahead, man.
Double D, man.
What's up?
Horrible. Sly was horrible. I don't know. He just kept looking down. I thought maybe he lost his keys or something. They even had, Nile Rodgers was there? You didn't even give him a little plug.
No, Nile Rodgers is spectacular. He's a great band leader. Instrumentalist, great producer, great arranger. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the band leader for that. And
they had, Randy Jackson? Was he there?
Yeah, I believe so. Everybody was there. All the famous faces, all the famous players. You could tell that the band and the backing, they aren't backup singers. They're all lead vocalists. And they all really prepared. They didn't do it like white boys doing reggae, They really did their homework. You can tell.
They should have did the commercial where, you crack the egg in the frying pan for him because he's all done.
Yeah, welcome to a partnership for a brain-free America. I think what's probably wrong with Sly, really, medically, is called Korsakoff syndrome. And there are a lot of our contemporaries in rock and roll who suffer from this. And if you can see the brain scan, you can see it. It looks like a golf course. I'm no guilt-free sinner here. I'm a professional sinner. But I made it out before the final blow was dealt, okay? And that lack of making eye contact and staring down at the hands, being lost, the same thing happens to these guys in conversation. Hey, what time is it? Candy bar? I'm not kidding. They routinely look lost. They look up into the sky when you force them to make eye contact, and they run their hands through their hair and go, wow, I think so. And all you asked was, what time is it? I'm seriously. And they can't remember where they are in the song. Either they deliver the wrong intro or they don't realize that they're supposed to be there in the vocals because they've gone somewhere else. And that's a product of a lot of too many late nights. Maybe 4,000 Heinekens and 68 pounds of whatever ago. Sly had it on the ball here, but I think he insulted that band. As far as the audience, hey, we take our chances, man. You dial in a TV show like the Grammys or whatever, you take your chances. Might be good, might be bad, might be a win, maybe lose. You might get rained out. I don't think we got rained out. I think we got whizzed on. Okay? Yeah, that was a nice jacket. I can buy one of those for you, animal.
Okay.
That was a nice haircut. You can buy that, too.
You know I used to wear a mohawk, babe,
Yeah. I'm going to go fix my mohawk now, baby.
Yeah.
Want to take you high. Anyways, do we still have that caller on the line?
Yes, I am. Diamond Dave. Dave, what did you think about Madonna? Now, the only place I could steer wasn't at the music box there.
Say that again, I'm sorry, about the music box?
I couldn't even... with Madonna dancing around there. There was only one spot I could be staring at.
Okay.
And it wasn't at the music box.
I know, and you're getting lost in the Bermuda Triangle, which is part of what Madonna sells, and it's been selling wonderfully for many years.
And then they come back with Kelly Clarkson.
Hold on. Let's stick with Madonna here.
Okay.
I think that Madonna has all of the natural raw ingredients still there, but I think she's distracted. I'm only talking as a pro musician who knows that when life begins to happen to you, then what you're doing as an artist starts to suffer. You only have, say, 1,000 calories a day to spend. If you're spending all 1,000 doing what you do as an artist, or even an architect or a photographer or going to school or whatever, all 1,000, the work comes out differently than if you separate, okay, I need 520 calories for the dog. I need 30 calories to go find some furniture. I need 27 calories to do my tax form and go meet my girlfriend for lunch. And wait a minute, we're having a fight, so I need another 30 calories. And it all begins to distract from the work a little bit. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you 100%.
And I think that if she focused, hey, get a divorce, put the kids in military school, keep the day job. Now, I bought the last record, baby. I will buy the next one. But let's get after this. Like Grandma Roth used to say, let's get after this now, baby.
Yeah.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth here, 866-313-3733. Give me a little volume there, Hutch. Let's take a phone call, 866-313-3733. You know what, before we do, Matt, did you see the show last night?
I saw the first hour of it.
Okay, and you thought I was being a little hard on Coldplay yesterday,
right? I did. I was thinking, oh, I wish somebody was in there would argue with Dave a little and say, hey, come on, man, they're all right, good stuff, but nobody stepped up, so I thought, maybe they are the real deal.
Okay. What did you think when you saw them play on the TV set last night?
I was kind of rooting for them, even though I'm not a big fan of theirs, just so I could say, hey, Dave, you know what? These guys, you're wrong.
Oh, I root for anybody who has ambition. Okay? Good, middle, bad. I'm for game. Good game, mediocre game, as long as you got a game. Get your game face on. And what did you see on the TV?
I thought they were kind of rough. They came out, and I was thinking, they're not really happening. They don't have the kids not hitting the high vocal part. There's not a lot of beef to the sound. But I thought, they did okay, and then U2 came out.
Well, see, wait a minute. U2 Part 2 was what you watched with Coldplay, okay? That sounded like U2. The vocals were like U2. The song treatment was like U2. He's running around the stage exactly the way Bono has set the pace there.
Bono Light.
Oh, yeah, Bono Light. And what you're hearing in his voice is you got to split that difference. You're either going to do the mileage or you're going to stand your ground and hit the notes. And you're always going to have to find the break point there. You're always at a tipping point, whether you're Madonna or Bono, whether you're, Paul McCartney or Mick Jagger, you know, who we saw at the Super Bowl. And Mick split the difference a little bit wrong. He decided, I'm going to sing a little bit less and I'm going to run a little bit more. What did the Coldplay guy do in your mind?
He ran out of gas, man. He did not have the vocal. He couldn't keep up. And then when Bono came out, you could hear Bono brought his own sound, man. They had their thing dialed down, and the guitar player was ripping.
Wow.
Unbelievable, because I saw them at the Garden here in town.
Oh, and how was it at the Garden? How did it sound at the Garden?
Top notch, man. I told you, the sound was unbelievable. And
yeah,
even last night, you could tell they brought their own cats in there.
And this is my manager, Matt Sencio, that is talking here. You come out of Boston. They're listening in Boston as well. That's a big U2 town. And the whole country is a big U2 groove. I think they were the first ones, too, to say, don't light your matches, hold up your cell phones.
I think it was BCN and Boston broke them big time, man.
Oh, I wouldn't be at all surprised, you know. And I'm going to get to the Aerosmith guys a little bit later, but it was also BCN and Boston who put together the reunion of Aerosmith at one point in time here. What's going on in that part of the country?
WBCN.
Anyways, I thought that U2 came out solid. Wow, what a band sound. What a move, you know? And he had the vocals there, and that split difference that I'm always talking about. He held his ground, and that stuff sounded so good. When they make that side shot, it looked like the Blue Angels Jet Thunder team going. They all face in that same way. They know exactly what they're doing. Here, I'm going to make the face, baby. Yeah. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. All right, take a phone call. 866-313-3733 from Cleveland. Timmy, what's on your mind? You're in the spotlight. Go.
double D.
D Row in the house. What's cooking, brother?
Big T here. Listen, I think that you two kicked ass just like they usually do on their performance.
Why do you think they kicked ass?
Well, I mean, what I really like is how they don't play exactly like on the album. You know, it's real close, but it's not exact, and it's live. There's a lot of bands that go out there, you know, like Audio Slave, I saw them. I thought they were great in concert, and they nailed everything just like on the album, and sometimes that's great. But you two, I've always seen them use a crafty side, just a small tilt to the left or to the right of what's center on the album.
That's okay? That is world-class musicianship. Springsteen exactly. does exactly the same thing. His reading of the lyrics of Diamonds and Dust, which was very different than was on the record there, gave it a whole new reflection. It gave it a whole new angle, like looking at it through a different kind of a lens at the same subject. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you there, but what I want to say is, especially when they went into one afterwards. I mean, I don't know if you know, you probably had to notice the way he was singing the opening lines, how he just, he mixed them up. It wasn't, instead of going high, he kind of went low and just put a whole different twist to the song, made it a little more seductive, a little more personal.
I have the impression that these are individuals who listen to a lot of music. The old axiom that a good author reads a whole lot more than he writes. A real good musician listens to a whole lot more other material than you actually write yourself. And that doesn't mean that you're stealing from it. It just means you're compelling yourself. Listen to this track in the back. Here, get up, baby. Say,
hey, Dave.
You're compelled to talk, aren't you? Go ahead, I'm listening.
I really didn't care for the duo, though. I thought that there was, I don't know if you want to call that a duo, but when she came out, that one woman that came out and started singing with that song, I wasn't feeling it at all. At all. I didn't even think that was a good, if you want to call it a remake,
okay.
Of the song. And they did that a couple times last night with bringing out other artists to sing along with. And I wasn't feeling that.
Who was the gal that was singing with him? What is her name?
I cannot remember her name. It's a black woman.
Yeah.
And she was like real kind of like...
It's Mary J. Blige.
You know, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, well, that's what I call tinsel. When you have a real melody, okay, you don't have to do a lot of that. It's called, that technique is called melisma. It's gospel style, okay? And I will sing to you the demonstration here. This is when you have a solid melody. Here we go. Turn up the track, baby.
She gave me love. She's a gold digger.
All right. Now, here's what happens when you don't have an actual melody. Here's what you do. Turn it up. Well, that's a lot more fun to do, but it's a little painful to listen to after the 14th version, right?
Not good, right? I mean, what did you think? What did you think when she came on? I mean, I
think
I understand what your example seems like. We're kind of on the same appeal here that she could have just stayed off stage, and I'd have rather heard them sing it.
Well, they're representing different neighborhoods and different communities, but you can only swim as fast as the slowest person in line. And no matter how fast Bono is in terms of his abilities, his capacity to sing, his performance style, that if you get somebody who's not as good, he has to slow down. If you play tennis with somebody who's not as good as you, your game will suffer. Theirs will not improve as fast as your game will suffer. And she's coming from an approach that is all about the flash, that is all about a lot of stylization, and his whole thing is content. Potatoes, Guinness. Meat, yes. Potatoes, Guinness. Oh, that sounds like breakfast to me, baby.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I was thinking about your comment you made the other day about where's the Zeppelins and stuff.
Yeah, well, where's the people who are not necessarily, where are the people who sound like the Zeppelins? Not that at all. But where are the people who are making the contribution that is unique as the Stones, the Zeppelins, and the Doorses and the Joplinses and so forth? Where are they now? Where are they?
What do you think about U2? I mean, I know they came out in the 80s, but those guys have been 80s, 90s. Now in the 2000s, hit after hit after hit, I think Pop was the only album that didn't have anything big for them.
Yeah.
And every album, they come out with something hot, and I think a lot of times their albums are a few years ahead of themselves.
I agree with you.
I'm not saying that they're the Zeppelin, okay, that they're the next Zeppelin, but I think that in our generation, they are kind of that of that echelon.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you, but they're not of this generation. I think they come, they're early 80s, actually. I remember when Bono had a mullet. Oh, gee, never a good time to bring that up. But no, they're not of this generation. They're coming from a generation much more close to mine, in which they were listening to a whole different catalog of music that added up to what they've created, a hybridized now. Okay, I'm talking about the kids who are in their 20s now, the kids in their early 30s now, this new generation. Where's it happening? Where is the new Sly Stone? I don't know that it's Kanye West. In fact, I know it's not. What do you think, man?
Definitely not. I don't like hearing some of the, where some of that stuff come, where they're taking clip bites out of other songs and putting them into a lot of the hip hop songs. Any of that stuff, I don't think that's cool.
You have a problem with sampling old music and putting it into the tunes?
Well, I mean, I do. I think when you take, like, if we use Page, Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin, they kind of regurgitated it. They didn't cover it. It was redone. There's a difference between covering and redoing. You hear a lot of bands trying to break the scene by doing a cover song or using bits from an already made hit.
I understand what you're saying, and I want to disagree, because I think that you have a whole generation or two of young people who don't have anywhere else to learn actual playing of music on an instrument, okay? That takes thousands of hours, and it takes teachers, it takes the equipment to do it, and whatever. And when Reaganomics destroyed the economic base here, you had a whole lot of people who no longer found school programs to learn that. You had a whole lot of people who no longer had the money for that, those kinds of pursuits. And a whole lot of kids don't go to church anymore. That was a great place for people to learn to sing, particularly in the black community, all right? You don't have a lot of that in place now. So people don't know. That's not that they don't have the potential. It's not that they don't have the gear, the muscle. They just don't have the know-how to write a song on a piano, to write a song on a guitar. So you are ending up with people, a nation of people who are playing keyboards with two index fingers, and then when it comes time to actually construct a melody, they have to reach into the past, because everybody in the past were playing legitimate old school instruments, and that's where you're going to find your best melody, etc. I don't know that it's a bad thing. I think it's maybe it's an unfortunate thing if they're making these decisions because they can't do anything else. I think it's very different that if you know how and you decide, no, I'm going to go simple, then you've made an informed decision to be primitive. It's different than not having a choice. Don't go away.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.